Hey there, football folks. James Charbonnier, it is the Soccer Central Podcast, Thursday edition. Thomas Dobby's beside me. John Molinaro's beside me. No Dunlop today, so you can be thankful for that.
Thank God.
Woo-hoo! And raise the intelligence level.
Where is he now? Show somewhere. Off on some kind of other
getaway? He's actually, you know, what was it? Is it New York recently? Boston?
Mexico?
Mexico. Windsor, Ontario.
Oh, yeah. Most lavish of all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, good for him.
He gets around.
He does. He does. I'm not sure if he brought the girlfriend there or not. I mean, why would you want to go there, really?
Yeah.
I'm kidding, Windsor fans.
He's
out
from there.
We had a good time in Windsor.
We sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good laugh. We were there before the Gold Cup. What was that, 3 years ago now?
Gold Cup, yeah. What was it, 2011 in Detroit?
No, Fort it can't Field? Be 2011.
2012?
20, yeah, that's a good one.
Well, the Gold Cup's this summer coming up, right?
So it's like I think it would have been 2011.
I think it was 2011.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 4 years ago.
Well, 3.5, yeah.
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 Wow. So much has changed in those 3.5 years, haven't they?
Josie Altidore scored in that game for the U.S.
Wow, that was that could have been his last goal.
It might be, yeah.
That's not fair.
That's not fair.
He's at least scored a couple.
He scored like 2 in 70 appearances in England.
Yeah. He'll be just fine. Well, on that note, let's start with some TFC once again. Me and J-Mo went into Jovinko in some depth on Monday's podcast, Tom. But, you know, last Thursday, we're sitting here and we're saying, you know, why in the hell would Jovinko come to Toronto other than money? And now we know. There is no other reason other than
it's
money.
Just money.
It's $7 million to
Did
start
I hear,
with
and is this correct, that he is the highest paid Italian soccer player ever? Is that, I thought I heard that his contract was going to make him the highest paid ever.
I think he was one of the highest in Juventus, but I think Pirlo makes more.
But I mean now.
Oh.
I think with his contract. I thought I heard that somewhere. Maybe I'm making it.
Maybe. I don't know. That doesn't sound right because I think Daniele De Rossi makes quite a lot for AS Roma. I think in that.
Yeah, I mean, he's in what? So $7 million a year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
£80,000 a week translates to about $6 million a year.
Right.
Right? And how much are these guys on a week? Like, Ballo's on a lot per week. It's more than $80,000, obviously. So.
He's getting a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. He's one of the highest paid players.
Yeah.
And he's making more than Vidal.
Yeah.
He's making more than, I believe, Marchisio. He's making more than Pogba. Pretty good deal.
Hmm. Yeah, Gazzetta saying that with bonuses and whatever, he could make $10 million a year, and that would make him...
with the bonuses.
The richest Italian player.
Interesting. Well...
Crazy.
It was going to take something like that to get him here, right? I mean, he wasn't coming for...
You're right about De Rossi. He makes $7.5 million.
Right. I figured.
And then Balotelli makes... just under 7. So they're saying with bonuses and stuff, he'll make more than any Italian player currently in the world.
Someone asked Tim Bespachenko, do you think you're overpaid for Jovinko?
Yes.
And he said no. But he has to say no. But of course he did. But that is the only way to get these guys.
Sure.
And in a cap,
good for them.
A cap league with DPs, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? It's still going to be 360 against a cap around there. What is the actual official cap number for a DP?
375.
375, is it?
Yeah.
Around there,
yeah.
So who cares? It could be $20 million for all we care. It's not our money; it's MLSE's money.
We're raking it in. Who cares?
Yeah. Stop whining about it, people.
That's like to the Jays. People are like, oh well, they can't sign this because they're. I don't care. It's not my money. Go spend everything you want.
Of course, your
budgets.
Of course, you're overspending. He's 27. He's in his prime.
Anyway, I don't want any trouble here.
He's not
let the money flow.
Yeah, let's go make it rain. Jeez,
he's not coming here for the football project.
No,
he just isn't. And if I heard that word out of anyone's mouth.
A quote from James Charbonnier last week.
Someone.
He's never, why would he want to come? He's never coming. And if he does, he'll be gone after a season. Do you think in 3 years, say, 3 years to the day from today, is there any chance that he's still here?
Yeah. It all depends on what's his priority in life? Is it making as much money as possible or will his competitive juices in the end turn his head back to Europe? That's the question, right? And I wouldn't blame him either way. If he leaves after a year, okay. You know, you're going to be saying farewell to a lot of money.
But recoup it in a transfer fee, potentially, probably.
Sure, could do, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Usually about 10%, isn't it, or thereabouts?
Yeah. They're not paying any transfer fee because it was on a free Bosman, so they're going to make money on this deal.
You'd save TFC are.
Yeah, that's
for
what I meant.
Sure.
Yeah. You'd save his wages.
Well, they'll make money.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It's win-win for TFC.
Right.
But for Jovinko himself, though.
Right.
You know, he'd only return for footballing reasons and nothing. He could well do it after a year if he really figures that I can still make lots of money playing in the top leagues in the world. But we'll find out, you know, where are his priorities? And maybe he does settle into a new culture maybe he does become the face of the franchise in a successful year, and he's the superstar, and he enjoys the lifestyle being the man, because he's never going to be the man in any Serie A club or European club. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Unless he goes to like a mid-table team like Torino and kind of transforms them from like a mid-table to a Europa League team. But you're right. Like, he's not going to be that guy at Milan. He's not going to be that guy at Inter or
even Fiorentina.
Well, yeah, maybe.
They are these days. But
I don't know. I think it's a good move. I mean, even if, as you say, even if he leaves after 1 year, unless it's like a total Defoe-like soap opera, I really don't see the harm. I think this is pretty low risk.
I love that little video clip they played of him saying, "Hello, Toronto. Happy to be here, everybody." I think that's great. Yeah. He seems so happy and cheerful. Like, so much, so more appealing than Jermaine Defoe. Okay. It was like, you know, I think I'm going to enjoy it, but I might not.
So here's the thing about, he's coming in, what, July? Is that correct?
Yeah, so talk that they might get him. You'd have to negotiate.
I think that they should be doing everything in their power to do that, because I think we've talked about it before, the fact that they open up, what, their first 7 weeks, 7 games. 7 weeks, seven games only away from home. Like,
back home on May 10th for the first game.
You need to have him here for that first home game, because it's probably going to be a pretty rocky start to the season on the road. We know the history of their form away from home, and you could potentially be out of it by June or July by the time he shows up. And that's the last thing you want, because then you've got a guy coming in to a club that's already going to be in turmoil again. And okay, well, you can't turn around at that point. I think you have to do everything you can to try to get him here early. What's stopping you? If it's money, go out and do it. Figure it out, right?
No, I agree.
But would Juve do it? I mean, he's still a depth player. He plays in Coppa Italia games.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, there's no doubt he's down the depth chart at Juventus, but like he's a good bench player to have. And with them playing, in Champions League coming up, I don't think they're going to be in any rush to get rid of him unless they have someone else coming in. And yeah, if they have like a like-for-like replacement, sure, we'll let him go early. But unless that happens.
So that huge rumor that Manchester United bid £62 million for Paul Pogba this January.
Right.
So I guess he's not leaving in January. Otherwise, they wouldn't have ditched Jovinko.
Right.
I would guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just
£62 million, right? Yeah. Wow.
A lot of money. And they owned him.
It's kind of like Matic as well, right? I mean, it's like you don't know what you got till it's gone, and then you spend an extra $30 million, I think it was, on Matic when you had it before. And Pogba, could have had him. Yeah. Gone. Yeah.
They got to look back at that and say that's one of like the biggest screw-ups.
Oh, my God.
Like, my God. They got to be kicking themselves.
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, I guess you could have loaned him out and he could have become a better player, but I mean, he had to make that move to become who he was. He wasn't going to become...
Absolutely.
Paul Pogba wouldn't be Paul Pogba had he stayed at United, I don't think. Because Fergie didn't have
that's
place
fair.
For him.
No, that's fair.
But still, I mean, say Fergie, sorry. Manage. We're talking about Manage, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pogba too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Same situation, yeah.
No, no doubt.
Back to Jovinko. How tall was Muggsy Bogues when he played here?
I think he was 5'5".
Same size?
Because
Jovinko's 5'5". Because could Jovinko be the shortest superstar to ever play in this town? Ty Domi was 5'7", 5'8", right?
Yeah.
He was a superstar, but he was a...
Muggsy Bogues, his wiki says 5'3", but I always thought it was, you know, made a
on
bit.
On skates, he was 5'5".
Muggsy Bogues was, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I'll plateau.
Might this be the smallest, the first superstar little person playing in the
Toronto?
City, in Toronto.
Yeah, Plata wasn't a superstar.
Oh, he was tiny.
But he was tiny.
Was he small? Was he under 5'5"?
Oh, he was definitely
5'4", maybe, right?
Oh, I think, 5'3", maybe. Like, he wasn't
There
5'5".
Is potentially a great world 11 of players 5'5 or shorter. Matthew Valbuena, I mean, I remember, I think that picture was photoshopped with him up against, forget who it was in the World Cup, but it was just hilarious how short he looked. He's just tiny.
I mean, Defoe wasn't big.
No,
was that whole Defoe sitting on Peter Crouch's shoulders.
Yes, of course.
Spurs,
yeah.
There was an argument there for why don't they do that in the box? Would have made a lot of sense. Speaking of Crouch and little people, I tweeted out, give us some thoughts, ideas for today's show, and didn't get many in response, because just after that, I retweeted a picture of Peter Crouch at some horse race somewhere standing beside a jockey, and Crouch goes, "I shouldn't stand beside jockeys again," or something. It's hilarious. There's this little jockey who's probably even smaller than Jovinko standing beside Peter Crouch. It's hilarious.
All right.
See this picture?
I'm going to check your feed now. Yeah.
It's probably the best retweet I've ever done. But as a result, people kept retweeting that and commenting. So they lost the whole hey, give us some ideas about what to talk about today.
Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah, that's good.
It's pretty funny.
The jockey kind of looks like Messi. All right.
Does he?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't get this one tweet that we got, somebody asking us if we record the podcast at the bathhouse.
In a bathhouse.
What does
that mean?
I think
he's been, I don't know. I think it was a shot at us.
I don't get it.
What goes on at bathhouses? You're not bathing, right? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
I think it was a shot. Not a very funny one.
Yeah. My bathhouse I know is like from Rounders. You know, Kanish always goes to the Turkish bathhouse. I've never been to one.
There's a great breakfast place. It used to be on Bathurst. What was it called? It's an amazing breakfast place, but it was infamous because above it or behind it was a bathhouse.
Mm.
What the hell was that called?
Where was it, Bathurst?
Bathurst and maybe Dundas. This is years ago. And it was just the best breakfast place. Mm. They always go there, but it's always some questionable characters loitering outside often.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, I think they're taking a shot at us, I think. But if you weren't, let us know and we'll apologize to you. Moving on then for Jovinko, JMO, you wrote an article today about perhaps a new signing coming in at the back, a center back from France, or is it from Poland?
Yes, Polish international.
Damien Pacuy?
Yeah, Polish international, but actually born in France.
Don't know anything about this guy. Real Betis?
Yeah, well, he played exclusively in France for his entire career. And then I think 2012, 2013, he moved to Real Betis. They're in the second division and they just cut him loose yesterday. They just ended his contract. And there had been talks between Toronto FC and him for quite a while. So, and from what a source told me was that, yeah, it's pretty much done that he's going to come in. So, he's a good age. I mean, I think he's 30, 31, so not too old. And they desperately need defensive help.
Because, so it's called Willen Pacuy, looks like. As bat partners.
Yeah. Well, especially with Daniil Henry gone, right? So it
who's going to be fouling in the box now?
Well.
who's going to concede the penalties?
Brum-bum. There's just a real lack of depth at the back.
Is Haglund still around?
He's still around, but I don't think he's... And I think he did okay last year, but
yeah,
I don't think he's liked him, actually,
the matches I went to, but... That was like four. I didn't really watch many more than that. But the ones I went to, I thought it was pretty good.
No, listen, for a first-year player, I thought it did really well. Mm.
I think you just need more defensive depth, and Caldwell needs like a legitimate partner back there that he doesn't have to babysit. So
Cole Becker traded
to
FC Dallas for Al Ocasion.
Yes.
He's been traded a lot, that Al Ocasion.
Yeah, he's going to be more clubs than Jermaine Defoe.
Does he score on all his debuts, though? Not anymore.
But I felt bad for Becker because Bezpachenko, I think it's Bezpachenko's comments were, he said, you know, sorry to see Carl go, but, you know, anyway, we can better our club.
Well.
So get out of here. We bring money in. We're going to better our club.
I'm not sure that he's all that wrong just because with you know, Bradley and now Jovinko coming in and they've got a lot of midfield depth and he wasn't going to get time playing. So
he got screwed over. I know that the Becker camp was not happy with the whole Ryan Nelson era.
Yes.
Because he was not played in where he should be played. They're playing a style of football that wasn't going to ever really suit his style.
Right.
Because, you know, he likes to play the ball on the ground, for example.
Well, that's fair, James. But the counter-argument that I always have is like, okay, but do you build around a guy like Kyle Becker? Like, do you sort of like dictate your change the style that you play to suit him? I don't think you do.
But they drafted him knowing what he was.
Sure, but it was pre Michael Bradley. It was like before that. So he's the guy that you kind of build around and adapt to.
No, for sure. But they I think he was third overall, and it was a surprise.
He was.
So they picked this guy, and then just like, yeah, and we're playing this style, which is completely contrary to how Carl Becker would ever have played.
Right.
So why do you draft that kind of player when you're not going to play that?
Well, it was football. To be fair, it was a Kevin Payne draftee, right? So it was before Bezpachenko. So
sure, I'm not blaming Bez.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was Payne and it was Nelson.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm just attacking a former era at TFC.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, there is. Anyway, let's head to the European world now. Another big signing today, perhaps, but a very young signing. Real Madrid has signed Martin Odegaard. He's 16 years old. Comes from, where's his club? I've got it written down here somewhere. Do my research here. Strøms Godset.
Ah, they've got a great history, yes.
Well, actually, you know, because we covered so much of Euro qualifying last year in the fall and the summertime, Norway, obviously, we showed some games. So actually, I heard about this kid during that period. Got three caps.
Right.
And I think we played one Norway game, and he was excellent.
Was he?
Like, really good. Who is this guy? 16. looks about 14 years of age.
And he debuted for Norway when he was 15.
Yeah, he did. Youngest ever.
Wow.
He could now become the youngest ever goal scorer in Spanish football if he scores. He has, how many more games? Two more months left, wherever it is, I believe. He's playing for Castillo, Real Madrid's B team.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Might get called up at some point by Ancelotti, but he says that it was the best choice for him in his development, and I do wonder about that. You know, I think the best club for his development might be Strom's Godset.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. But you see this all the time. I mean, it's just kind of what happens. But it doesn't even shock you, right? 16, okay, he goes there. I mean, we've heard of Barcelona, Real Madrid scouting kids and signing kids as young as 8 years old, right? So, I mean...
But it shocks me that he's being paid a reported £80,000 a week.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where you could look at it and it could be a steal down the road, and that's what Real Madrid are thinking, or he could be, you know, Freddie Adu. You just...
Right.
You can't really do it, but Real Madrid are in a position that they can take those chances. They can risk that kind of, you know, outsplash of cash, and if it works, then great, and you know, potentially they think that this guy could be, you know, a next big thing. Of course it's Real Madrid. Of course it's going to be them that does it. That's how they operate.
You have to think too, I mean, with all due respect to him, like with Real Madrid's depth in midfield, like, is he going to go like get much games? I wouldn't think so.
No.
You would have to think they're going to keep him with their B team in the Segunda, or loan him out to another second division side.
In 3 years time when he's 19, you know, Ronaldo.
Sure, then possibly, yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
He'll be 33 by that point. So obviously it's a move for the future. Just I wonder about his development, and
right.
80,000, so I think euros a week makes more sense. But still, 2.3 million euros could raise up to almost 10 million with bonuses and add-ons.
Right.
But I just, you know, I don't blame the guy for going there, obviously, but he could have gone to another club and played perhaps more often. I don't know. Just it's all a little bit distasteful when you're seeing these children being moved for such money, being paid such money.
Yeah.
When you were 16, how much money were you making?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well.
eight bucks an hour. I think the minimum wage was about $7.85 or something.
See, I wish Dunlop was here. We could ask him.
Yeah, we could ask him.
How much
it was like 2 years ago. Yeah. Hopefully, this kid saves some money for when he can actually legally drink. So, that'd be good.
Let's see. Yeah. Anyway, apparently he's pretty good. He's the next big thing. Apparently, he had to raise a bunch of tweets. He tweeted this past summer supporting and celebrating Messi.
Ah,
Real Madrid asked him to.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's so petty, man.
It was really with Argentina as well during the World Cup.
Oh, so he wasn't even tweeting about Barcelona games. Oh, no, that is so
childish. Even if he was, it's not like he was. Who cares?
He's probably got posters on his bedroom wall of Messi, you know?
Come on. Get over yourself, Real Madrid.
Yeah. Pretty quiet transfer-wise right now, isn't it? I know there's that Juan Cuadrado rumor to Chelsea from Fiorentina.
Yeah.
$27 million for him. I love that guy, but it's a lot of money for him. Fiorentina this season.
Yeah.
Up and down, right?
They are. Yeah.
They're at their best. They're a very good team. And
they are. Yeah. I think he's a wonderful player. He had a very strong World Cup. And I think he could do quite well in the Premier League. I think that'd be a good signing.
Kyle Dotton to Swansea, you know.
Yeah, huge.
Big move. Yeah.
Huge.
Former Blade. Yeah.
$4 million.
Wilfred Bonny. That was a big move.
That was a big move.
That was probably the biggest, I think.
Yeah.
Off of the African nations. You've been following the African Nations Cup at all? No, I know.
I really haven't. It's hard to watch. Have you watched it?
Tough to find.
No, because I don't think the games are...
Are they even on TV?
BN Sports
are they on BN or are they on...
No, I think you have to stream them.
Yeah, so...
Bummer.
It's too bad. I believe even in UK, you can't get the games either.
Really? Yeah.
Used to be BBC used to cover them, but not anymore.
I would watch if they were available.
I saw Jovinho's meltdown.
Didn't he punch someone or something like that?
Yeah, got sent off and had a hissy fit.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't comment on that. Asian Cup, anyone?
No. Let's talk about the Capital One
Capital
Cup semifinals.
One Cup. All right.
I did watch those games. Woo-hoo. Here we go.
Liverpool 1, Chelsea 1.
All right.
Start with that, shall we?
Sure.
We'll get yours
sure.
Enough, Tom. Don't worry.
No.
Really good game, I thought.
Chelsea
went there, and as they did last year, they went there to play, I think, defensively.
Yeah.
Mikel in the starting 11 for starters. But really good game, and that Sterling goal. Woof.
Very
watch
nice.
Out.
Liverpool were a house on fire. I mean, they did everything right. Just
68%
couldn't finish.
Possession.
Yeah, they had 20 attempts, I believe, to one for Chelsea. But you look at it and you think, well, have they blown the chance now? Because 1-1,
they have
pretty much, right?
Stamford Bridge next to like,
yeah, you would think it might save you your marriage, so maybe a good thing.
Yeah,
you know?
We never know. Me and Dobby have an agreement that if it's Liverpool Sheffield United in the final, we'll fly over there.
Yeah,
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go if they make the final. So
would you sit together though?
I don't know.
That might be nice.
Yeah. I'll be sitting in Sheffield United section. Yeah, he'd be going.
Probably not.
Yeah.
A little bit, his dad's a shirt off, pain in his chest type of guy.
Yeah.
He's a great lad, but we'll I wouldn't want to watch my team against his team. I wouldn't.
No, we'll get separate tickets. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, who knows, right? In the Cup, Liverpool could go there. And away goals only count after extra time in this competition.
Why is that?
Very strange.
Makes no sense.
I mean, if Liverpool can... get a 0-0 and then they would have to score an extra time.
Of course, Chelsea have difficulty scoring at home.
Yes, it's very tough for them. Yeah.
And why is the semifinals two legs after everything up to this point is one leg?
Same reason why extra time counts in away goals only.
Yeah.
Right.
So it makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. Right. I used to not like this competition, but when you make a semifinal, you start to enjoy it a bit more.
Yeah, I know. Remember, was it 2 years ago when Liverpool did really, really well?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I'm being drawn into it slowly again.
But let me ask, growing up, Sharms, in England.
Huge. Milk Cup.
Was it huge back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Milk Cup.
Right.
It was huge. Also, I was a kid and I loved the romances of football.
Sure.
And there wasn't as much soccer on TV either. So
right.
When you got a chance to watch your team, you watched them, right? And just there's more hype around it. The European Cup was just different to what it is now. It was huge back in those days, but the money wasn't the same. So, teams took the League Cup, with
seriously.
Value. Yeah. Okay. But I thought they played very, very well. Spurs beat the Blades 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, Sheffield United played really well, and I was really happy of how they set up to attack, and they went for it, and they had a couple of chances. And I was watching it with about 10 people, actually, a bunch of different friends and coworkers. We all kind of just went out and watched the match at the pub, and. Everyone just said, I can't believe that this team's in League One because they didn't look out of place playing against Spurs. Spurs played pretty much their best team. Vorm's been playing in goal throughout this tournament, and he was in net again. And other than starting Davies over Danny Rose in the back, I mean, Eriksen played, Kane played. They started Adebayor up front, which is a big story. That was
captain.
Captain. So, and the reasoning that he was the captain was because, I guess, Lloris, Kabul, and Adebayor. Lloris is the captain, the other two, Kabul and Adebayor, are vice captains. So he was kind of next in line without the other two in the lineup. Not that that couldn't have been changed. His first start since he called out the fans 2 months ago, he did come on as a sub on the weekend. Within 20 minutes, he flicked out an arm and could have been sent off, got a yellow for it, and was booed off the pitch when he got pulled off in the about 65th minute. Soldado came on to replace him, immediately made Spurs better. And Soldado's pressure forced the mistake and the penalty. But you know what? It's pre-match. I probably would have taken a 1-0 defeat. You never want to, lose the first game.
Right?
But that was at White Hart Lane.
Oh, sorry, of course.
So we're going home for the second leg, down 1-0. We've got every chance. I mean, it's going to be tough. If they score, we'll need three because of the stupid away goals after extra time thing. But
let's be honest, Tom. The chances of us being at Wembley aren't looking too great.
I was looking up flights yesterday. Well, I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
Not too bad. 717 only.
Really?
To London.
That's pretty good.
All direct, in? Direct.
Yeah.
Taxes all in.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Just go for the weekend.
Yeah. Seriously. That's really good.
Really good.
Let's do it anyway.
Fly Friday night.
Let's go this weekend.
Let's go.
What the hell?
Get there Saturday morning. Fly home Monday. Back Monday night. I can go to work.
Taking Sheffield out of it, though.
Yeah.
Is it still irrelevant? Competition? Does it matter?
I mean, I think that for teams like Liverpool and Tottenham, I think that it's incredibly important just the fact that they can say that they won silverware. I mean, Spurs haven't won a trophy in ages. Liverpool, they could look at their season and say that, we won something and it's a building block. I think that especially when you get this close at this point, these teams really want to win this.
Right.
A team like Southampton, who Sheffield United dumped out in the quarterfinals, this is something they desperately want. I mean, winning a trophy is a trophy. It's not like it's some, ragtag thing or it's the Community Shield or something. It's a trophy that a lot of teams are vying for. So I think especially when you get to the semifinal stage, it's on. And it is important to the fans and people do care.
Let me ask you this, though. You're right now seventh, I think, in League One?
Yeah.
Right? Would you rather win promotion or win a cup?
Promotion. Promotion because, that for the long-term stability of your club. These cup runs are a nice diversion in the last 3 years of you know, toiling away in League One have been made much more bearable by these cup runs. But at the same time, I'd rather go out in the first round of the cups and be promoted.
As a Reds fan, I would take top four over League Cup.
Sure you would. Yep.
However,
sure.
FA Cup, you know, in the past I said it's, you know, the brain says from a long-term standpoint, from a business standpoint, top four is more important. But every year in May in the FA Cup, it's such a great occasion. I think, man, I love
look
this
how
game.
The Champions League worked out this year. It was one and done, and it was awful.
Precisely.
Like you, I totally agree. Like winning a cup, I mean the FA Cup.
The FA Cup. I mean the FA Cup dwarfs the League Cup. Put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. No doubt.
And the FA Cup, I think, has grown some prestige in recent years. There was a time there a decade ago where it was very insignificant. Coppa Italia this week. No one cares about
the Coppa Italia,
right?
I mean, I shouldn't. That's a bit harsh. But it's not anywhere near to what the Copa del Rey or the FA Cup is. It's a secondary concern.
Napoli took out Udinese in a shootout. Is that semifinals?
You know what? Quarters. I don't even know.
I don't care.
No.
Speaking of Udinese, saw today that Toto Di Natale is leaving end of the season.
Oh, really?
Really?
He may not be retiring, but leaving. MLS.
Smells like an MLS move. Big time, yeah. That'd be great. That's,
I would love to see him.
That would be great. Yeah, because I don't think he wouldn't go to another Italian team.
He could have done. He's like Gerard.
Yeah.
He could have gone to a big club at some point in his career.
Or like Totti. He had offers. He could have went.
Yeah.
But boy, wouldn't that be a shot?
He'd still score a lot of goals.
He'd be great.
Office, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He's like a rich version of Marco De Vio.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that'd be fabulous.
That was the round of 16 only. So they're going to the quarterfinals now in the Coppa Italia, AC Milan, Lazio, Napoli and Inter, Roma, Fiorentina, and Parma, Juve in the quarters. Good matchups. Mm-hmm. Really strong teams left.
Yep. Mm. Who won last year?
Good question.
Napoli.
Napoli, yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Okay. They beat Roma in the final, I want to say.
Lazio.
For some reason.
Oh. Yeah, same thing. Lazio, yeah. Roma.
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Try saying that in Rome.
Yeah.
Speaking of FA Cup, it goes this weekend. Without being a dead horse on Liverpool, they play Bolton. Emil Heskey. Back to Anfield.
Wow.
Yep.
Amazing.
I like Heskey.
That match is on Sunday,
Owen,
right?
Together for a time there.
That match on Sunday?
I think it's Saturday.
Guess who his partner is up front?
Who, Heskey?
Bolton, yep. Any guesses?
No.
Sure?
Michael Owen.
Ida Gudjonsson.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
A throwback.
Still scratching.
He's still around?
I know. I was surprised by that as well. The Iceman.
He's got to be, what, 30...
43. He's going to be late. Yeah, high 30s, right?
Wow.
Must be.
Yeah, Liverpool-Bolton late game on Saturday, 12:30.
Right.
Yeah.
On Sportsnet World, I believe.
It is. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is on Sportsnet World, yeah. Southampton-Crystal Palace, that stands out to me. Interesting.
Sure.
Pardew against one of his
former Palace
clubs.
Have been good. It was a great comeback against Burnley last week.
Yeah, was it ever?
Yeah, Pardew's got them clicking right now.
We were saying earlier how Southampton have like different, they're not just an attacking team. Right, they can defend well. They can kill games off and grind them out. They got a plan A and a plan B, which a lot of these teams that show up for half the season and are a nice story only have the plan A.
Yep.
And when that goes wrong or they get figured out, they start dropping. But this team, man.
Koeman's manager of the year, I think it's pretty much going to be a done deal right now.
Yeah, you think so. I mean, I think Southampton in many ways, look at the players though in the system and the club, because Pochettino did a great job last year as well. Obviously, some players left, some guys came in. I'm not saying Koeman shouldn't, but I mean, there's a great system there. The guys coming through the ranks at Southampton know how to play the style of Southampton. So I give them a lot of credit for that. Cambridge against Manchester United on Friday. Lowest ranked team in this year's tournament, Cambridge, against United. That's in Sportsnet World.
Giddy
on Friday.
Up on Friday. Beautiful.
Yep. Some afternoon footy.
Nice.
Saturday, we have Man City and Middlesbrough. That's at 10 a.m. on Sportsnet World, followed by Liverpool Bolton. On Sportsnet World Now, which is online,
yep.
We have Birmingham West Brom, West Midlands Derby.
Sure.
Nice. Bristol West Ham, that's Sunday morning on Sportsnet World, and that's followed by Brighton against Arsenal. Bournemouth Villa is online at 10 o'clock.
That's a good one. Bournemouth, the top of the championship. Villa obviously struggling for goals. Good old fashioned cup tie, as they say there, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Love it.
There's a game Monday too, isn't there?
There is a game. It's Stoke and Rochdale, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even City, Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough's doing well this year in the championship.
Yeah, that'll be a good one too.
It'd be interesting to see what kind of team City plays in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else we can get to? Oh, Abu Dhabi. Here we go. This is for JMO, Arsenal fan here. A little pop quiz for you here.
Oh.
All right. Abu Dhabi. who was once seen as being the next Patrick Vieira, right? Really good player, actually, when he's healthy, but obviously injuries have just destroyed him. Mm-hmm. In the last four seasons, how many games has Abu Diaby played?
League games or just all?
Just games.
In four seasons?
Yeah, last four seasons.
I'd say 15.
I'll say 20.
Yeah, 16.
Oh. Close. Good. Point for Diaby? Okay, good. That goes to next year's quiz, right?
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. The reason being, he's out of contract this summer, and now Wenger's even saying, you know what, I think it's probably it. He's not going to be that this season through injury.
How old is he? He's got to be...
late 20s, maybe?
20s.
Because when the injuries began, he was in his early 20s.
Right.
So he must be late 20s now, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Let's check out other tweets we had here. Like I said,
former Arsenal player Alex Song's having a nice rejuvenating year with West Ham this year. Eh?
Is he ever, right?
Stuart Downing, that team's...
Maybe Sam should get Gaffer of the year, right?
Yeah, good shout. He could be involved for sure.
Andy Carroll seems to have...
Yeah.
Oh, he's been great, yeah.
The guy, I mean, Sacco, when he's healthy, he's been great.
Healthy too, but...
Right.
Bournemouth's top of the championship. Middlesbrough's second charms right now.
Yeah, second, right. Point, yeah, okay.
Tweets.
Brian Mack says, our thoughts on the human rights complaint that was launched and now dropped, grass against turf, the Women's World Cup.
Oh, by the Women's... Yeah, I'm not surprised. It was... Nah.
It was never going to win.
It was never going to win.
Wasn't that kind of the point, just to get some...
Yeah, just to raise awareness.
Voice and some awareness, yeah.
So, not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Canada U20, what happened?
Oh, they lost to Cuba.
Yeah, disappointing, wasn't
Nathan
it?
Nathan Erker wanted to know, this team had some fanfare, came up woefully short. Why?
Yeah. Well, it's a good question, because this team was being touted as one of Canada's best U20 teams in quite a while.
And they had Kyle Aaron, the first pick down there, right?
Yeah. And the expectation was that they were going to, you know, not that they were going to breeze through these CONCACAF tournament, but they would qualify for the World Cup. And the fact that they were eliminated, you know, for a loss to Cuba with a game left to spare in the group stage, it's pretty disappointing. Yep. Very disappointing.
So, is it just a question of them not being good enough?
They were missing two key players. Like,
for the clubs.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's... just one of those
How
things.
How can any Canadian team honestly enter a tournament and think, yeah, well, we'll get through this, no problem?
Well, that's the thing.
I'm not saying the players thought that or the coach thought that, but that was the sentiment among a lot of fans.
Yeah, and media we'll get too. There. Yeah. And media too. Yeah. I think it was, you just can't take anything for granted when you're a Canadian soccer fan. So it's disappointing. There's no question. And I don't think it's a matter of they weren't talented enough. I think it's just a matter of, like I said, it's just one of those things that just happened.
Sad part is the only reason they got any kind of notoriety was because of that video of when Kyle Larin got the first overall pick MLS draft. And that made like mainstream news, you know, top tens and stuff.
But that's kind of how it is, right? I mean, you can't be shocked by that.
Right.
No.
And they did do, like, they went on a tour of Europe in November, where they, like, they drew England, they beat Russia, I think they tied Spain, or they beat Spain. So I think there was rightly some expectation that they would do something, right, based on those results. So it's just disappointing the way it happened in Jamaica. I'm
trying to see what else is happening.
Hope Solo's a psycho.
Oh, God.
So Hope Solo's husband gets done for DUI while driving the team minibus with her beside him.
Right.
You idiots.
It's one thing after another with her.
Oh my!
It is, yeah.
Like, I suspended 30 days, I guess.
Like, I wonder, if the U.S. national team has reached a point now where it's like, you know what, we're not even going to bother with you because you're just. It's one thing after another.
Yeah, and in most games, they probably give up like zero shots, anyways.
Right,
when they're playing like one or two different teams. So
you put me in net.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't think that's allowed.
Yeah. Well, that's Thomas Rungan.
Yeah,
possibly it is.
Possibly.
So it's a pretty quiet week, really. You know, I think we've done enough in this podcast.
Yeah, you've had enough. Yeah,
well, you got we punching a clock here. Huh? What? We're punching a clock.
Don't have to.
You got stuff
to do. It's dead days of January, right?
Yeah, between the Cubs, no league.
You know, there aren't many rumors. Well, there's obscene rumors everywhere, but there's no point in talking about them because they're nonsense.
Now that we've said that, people have stopped listening anyway. So
there's nothing else to talk about.
No, nothing at all. Well, what's on the site coming up, JMO, the next few days?
Oh, just we're focused on FA Cup for the weekend, and then we're going to have Al Javinko all the time.
Way to sell it, JMO.
Well, but a lot of people are talking about it, and I think it is a big story, so we'll have like continuing coverage from all sorts of different angles, and then,
I just wish Montreal or Vancouver would do something to make us like have to make us talk about it all the time. You know, they're just doing things quietly. And
Rabo got an extension.
Yeah, Rabo got
an extension. That was great. Yeah, good for him.
Nice. I actually talked to Montreal captain Patrice Bernier this afternoon just before we came on the phone.
He's back for another year, right?
He's back for another 2 years.
He was concerned, like talking about retirement.
No,
well,
I asked him about that.
Yeah.
He was considering it. Yeah. So I'll have a story on that tomorrow on SportsCenter.ca. Okay. And then, your weekly blog is tomorrow too, where we talk about the goalkeeping situation. Right. We talk about the goalkeeping situation at Arsenal and Manchester United and a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Lots to get to. Hopefully some big shocks to talk about on Monday's podcast.
Yes.
The FA Cup.
Hopefully Sheffield United can go to Preston and, just get through another round.
Preston, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Preston away. So
you boys like playing the big clubs, don't you, in cups? Winning those.
I know, yeah. More.
All right, well, listen, thank you everyone for joining us. There's been nothing embarrassing on this podcast. I can't even apologize.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
We need Dunlop back to make a fool of himself. For that, I apologize.
I tried.
J-Mo, thank you. Dobbers, thank you. Speak to you on Monday, everyone. Bye.